who has starred.
Lyrics like those gave Dylan himself pause on the night of November 23rd, 1963. President Kennedy had been assassinated the previous day. I thought, how can I open with that song, he remembered. I'll get rocks thrown at me. I know I had no understanding of anything. Something had just gone haywire in the country, and they were applauding the song. Visit us online right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Berry.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
You're listening to the voice of Maui, KAKU 88.5 FM. It's time to pound the poi on the local show, KAKU FM Kahului Maui, the voice of Maui.
Local show. Local show presents Thursday Afternoon Frights. Every Thursday here on the local show, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui, broadcasting out of Akaku Maui Community Media Center in downtown Kahului. Dairy Road, you betcha. We got in the co-host seat today again, Brother Jaron.
Well, thank you for having me, Tony.
Yes, sir. We're going to be talking about a couple of horror flicks or thrillers that we have reviewed. One I have recently watched that he recommended from last week.
Yes.
And we'll talk about it on Halloween Day. I can't believe it was 1 week ago. How things have fallen.
Literally fallen.
Literally fallen. Oh, golly gee. Great times, man. It's a great day to be an American, man.
Hey, as long as we can still watch our movies.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of movies, I got the hookup. I purchased one movie from Walmart recently. So
yes.
I remember Brother Jaron was talking about this movie. This is the weekend watch for me, definitely. Yes.
Why? Don't watch it in the morning now. Watch it at night.
I can't.
Why?
Only because the back house TV, which is the one I purchased, is family members are back there.
Okay.
So nighttime watches for horror movies is a no-no.
But there's no snoo-snoo in there.
But we'll see. Okay, definitely.
Don't watch it where the glare is hitting the screen now. You won't be able to see anything.
Oh, no. Early morning, okay. 6 a.m., still dark outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got the hookup from Brother Jaron again, a nice, awesome stack. I can't wait to check out some of these movies. I know Terrifier. This is the Umbrella release, the Umbrella one, right?
Umbrella, with man.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, you got pretty much two movies in that one disc.
Yeah.
It's pretty good,
and
man.
And then Cycle 2, 3, and 4, which in my book is awesome sequels. I liked it. The second one, you kind of find on something weird. And then in the third one, you're like, and then the fourth one, I'm like, he's talking to a radio DJ. Not DJ, radio talk show host.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that my job?
See, I got to revisit those movies, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, the one that I didn't check out last year. I saw Renfield. I didn't see the Last Voyage of the Demeter yet. And I like
yeah. Cool, that one's practically a chapter in the entire Bram Stoker. You know, like if you do read the Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It's a long book.
Yeah. So this is just a chapter.
Basically.
of the whole book.
2 hours of the chapter.
2 hours of the one chapter.
All right. And then I remember watching the first Orphan and then another Orphan. First Kill was released a couple years back, right? Like 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or last year, around there. I remember it being in Redbox.
Yeah.
So long, Redbox.
Yeah. And it's not that I got rid of them just because they're bad. It's just that I've either, you know, upgraded them to 4K or will update them eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into some of the reviews right now. Let's just, you know, what movie you going to review first?
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to go with The Night House.
Night House? Okay.
The Night House, okay. Yeah.
Drop some synopsis on the people, yeah, for Night House real quick while I go and grab my water bottle.
Okay.
I forgot my water bottle.
Oh, absolutely.
So Night House.
All right. So The Night House, it's directed by David Bruckner, who is responsible for Netflix's The Ritual, as well as the new Hellraiser movie that came out 2 years ago on Hulu.
Love
that. And it stars Rebecca Hall. She is a grieving widow who has lost her husband. He took his own life, and she is kind of left as to why he took his own life. And, you know, the movie's a little bit of a slow burn, you know, just as much as she does. So she starts to uncover all these little secrets, all these little like trails of things that were left behind by her husband. And then, you know, she starts to have weird dreams, weird occurrences that begin to happen at night. And long and behold, she finds out that there is a house that is identical to hers across the lake. And it is abandoned. It looks exactly like her house, but everything is in reverse. And so she's wondering why, but as things pursue, there is some kind of malevolent presence amongst her, and yeah.
It's it kind of sounds like a parallel universe intruding on the actual universe, like her current
mm-hmm.
reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So her husband had some dark secrets, and those secrets slowly come to fruition, and yeah, she's trying to understand it, trying to understand why, you know, her husband was hiding these urges, so to speak.
Mm.
And
that sounds shady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily pay off a whole lot. You know, it doesn't necessarily come together all like at the very end. So, you know, this was one of those movies that I was just very, very intrigued with. And even though the movie doesn't lay out all the answers and explain things way too well, it was just one of those quiet, comfortable type of movies. And when it catches you off guard, it catches you off guard. So, yeah, there was some very chilling scenes. And a lot of it is just, you know, very more dramatic and emotional, especially coming from Rebecca Hall. You know, she's a great performer.
Yeah. I've seen her in one other film before that. I forget which one. I feel like it was another type of like a kind of a thriller type mystery film.
She did Resurrection, I think, in the same year with Tim Roth. And she kind of plays amongst, you know, those kind of levels. Like, it's more psychological thriller than anything. But I think she does a really great job here in The Night House. You know, there's a little bit of humor to her, too, because, you know, she's grieving, but she's also like very nonchalant when it comes down to people digging into her business. Oh, what happened to your husband? And then she just like, oh, well, he went out to the lake, took a gun out and shot himself
at the night house. Does she take a night swim?
No, that's a haunted swimming pool, man. That's the thing. You know, and it's kind of weird, too, because, you know, seeing that it is from the director, David Bruckner. You know, you could draw a few parallels to the Hellraiser universe.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. But, you know, that's just my interpretation. But there were just a few hints, you know? There was, like, these totems that she would come across. They don't explain what it is, but there's all these, like, totems and, like, blueprints that she would find about how this night house, so to speak, is structured.
What am I thinking of? She was in The Prestige. Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, she's in a lot of movies that a lot of people don't really, you know, take note of her in.
Transcendence. Oh!
Iron Man 3, Godzilla vs. Kong.
She was in The BFG. And my auntie is a big fan of The BFG. That's right. I remember looking at her face and I'm like, I know her from something else. And oh, she was also in the new Godzilla.
Yeah.
Versus Kong.
Both the Empire and the original one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So Rebecca Hall. Wow.
But she's
British?
She's
British, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got to be. She's got to be.
All right. Ah, it's cool. So, that's available on... I feel like that's available on Max right now.
It might
streaming
be.
On either on Max or some other... I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
Oh, what a tall drink of water. that is so cool. Awesome. So, Night House is better than The Night Swim.
Oh, absolutely. Don't think it's not a jump scare kind of movie, so I wouldn't watch it while you're tired, but it is a very intriguing psychological thriller horror film.
I like those. I like psychological horror thriller kind of films, especially movies where it's like kind of weird. There's a kind of weird parallel to it. Like, you don't know what's going on. Is there, from what I got from the trailer though, when I originally watched the trailer last year, felt like there's, like you said, supernatural element.
Yes.
Kind of deal, like the totems and stuff like that. So weird. I might be put on my list. If it's on Max and I find it, I'll do a search of whatever streaming services this is available on.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if you found it on Hulu. It is sort of a Disney property, like
really,
like a Touchstone kind of.
It
stuff.
Might be on Hulu then.
Regency, yeah.
There's so much stuff that I went through, and I was like, I was down the last days. What I'm gonna try and find and watch? I still haven't watched that one with Sarah Paulson, where they're in the desert. It's like 1920s from American Horror Story.
Hold Your Breath.
Hold Your Breath. Yeah, I still haven't checked that one out.
You know what?
It's on my list.
I'm going to tell you, Save Your Breath. Because that movie was way too slow and does not pay off the way you're hoping for, trust me. Yeah.
I do have a slight fondness for films that take a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend The Night House over Hold Your Breath for sure.
Okay. I'll hold my breath.
This one you got to rent on Prime Video for $3.99.
Which one?
Night House.
Oh, shucks. I guess rights got flipped over somewhere.
I don't know. That's the one iffy thing about streaming.
Last week you talked about this movie starring Anna Kendrick, which directed. It's her first directorial debut, Woman of the Hour. And I went into this movie thinking, like, it's just going to be like any other, like, serial killer movies I have seen since. And I'm like, it's in its own, like, way, it's like... Because every story, I never even really like did the whole background on what Rodney Acala did. I didn't realize how extensive his crimes was at that time. So when it had that opening scene, and then I recognized her. This actually one of the other actresses you said that was from Pitch Perfect.
Yep.
That was in there, and I'm like, wait, what? This is what we're introduced to, and then you get into Anna Kendrick and her whole drama of trying to become
the next big thing
in Hollywood. So, and this is all based on a true story. So she's actually playing in a real woman that, you know, you follow her story because of this incident. This one incident, she's like, I don't think I should be a part of this anymore, something like that. But no, she gets called to do a dating game, which at that point, I was like, how old is this? Because they mentioned Sally Field, and then I did my whole research thing, and I was like, wait, that's how old the dating game is? Because this is Sally Field pre-Flying Nun. Yeah, I'm an old guy. You get people who don't know. Sally Field, how she got her start, she did a show on TV where she was the Flying Nun. Yeah. It was a sitcom. It was a comedy.
Yeah.
Black and white. And she has the big... that old style nun, that habit.
Yeah.
And then she just takes off into the sky, solving problems. But prior to that, she was on a dating game. So I didn't realize how long and extensive this show is and how ridiculous the show was at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
That was a ridiculous show. But just this one time on the show, she ends up, you know, one of the bachelors being Rodney Acala. And if you don't know Rodney Acala, it's a true crime story. It's really, like, if you're into true crime stories, give it a look-see, really. I originally watched this. It was in passing and mentioning in the 70s where it did, like, this kind of weird thing on VH1 where they mentioned a serial killer on the dating game in the 70s. And then now there's, like, there has been on YouTube here and there, you know, other YouTubers that, like, do true crime stories and they tell the story, and I'm not realizing what story they're talking about, and then boom, you know, like Ray William Johnson did a segment, did a video on his show. Other true crime story podcasters that I was just like, you know, just I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to clean up, listen to some. So I'm one of those people that listen to true crime murder podcasts. It's you can do like on a day off, you can be like, okay, there's so much I can get through, you know. My sister watches Lori Lane. She does this whole makeup tutorial. There's women that do makeup tutorial.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell the most horrific true crime stories.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Right? She does it, and they talk about, like, so part of his body was found in the oven. I'm like, what? Well, she's doing her eyeshadow.
And like, she has, like, this whole thing voiced over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a trippy thing. But overall, Woman of the Hour, you recently posted a video where Anna Kendrick...
She took no money for this.
She kind of felt like icky about talking about
Violence amongst women.
Yeah, yeah, it was violence among women. But at the same time, there's so many prolific directors that did movies like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, even though it's all about the work you did. And she did a really good job.
Yeah, she did.
At making this movie.
It felt the visuals, kind of like David Fincher almost.
Yeah, and I got that whole, like, creepy vibe feel. Not Silence, not Buffalo Bill style, but, like, you know, Ted Bundy-ish kind of deal.
Zodiac-ish.
Zodiac, yeah, you know. And I didn't realize that, like, when he got to the end, I want to give too much away, but how he was eventually apprehended, you know, and how that all played out. Yeah. The actress, the hitchhiker actress, interesting. Mm-hmm. She's a great look. She's a great actress, right? And didn't even, like, it's noticeable, but I don't care. Her acting was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that, how do I say, a lot of the scenes where Rodney does go after these women were more accurately portrayed than the actual dating show segment?
Yeah.
Like, the dating show segment, like, that was dramatized just for in purpose of the story. But a lot of the things that they play off where Rodney goes after these miscellaneous women, those were real accounts.
Yeah, it reminded me of recent movies that came out. Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy in one feature film.
Yeah.
The whole Dahmer series that was on Netflix. I haven't gotten into the Menendez one, though. I don't even know if I want to check the one out. Yeah. But, I like this whole thing. You know, especially with Long Legs, too, because the whole idea of the case is that he's a serial killer or a part of a group of people that might be creating, you know. So I like serial killer movies, even though it's true and it's like crazy stuff. I mean, I've seen Gacy. I've seen the original Ted Bundy. I even seen the original Dahmer starring, what's his name? The Archer guy from Avengers.
Oh,
Hawkeye? Hawkeye.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner, yeah.
There was a movie with that?
Yeah, he was Dahmer.
That's crazy.
Yeah, look it up, Dahmer, with Jeremy Renner. He played Jeffrey Dahmer in a movie. And all of that because it was part of like this like serial killer movie of the week. There's like four movies. I forget which the last one that was featured. I think it might have been Ed Gein or something like that.
Okay.
But it was a group of serial killer movies. They're low budget, but for low budget, they did well. But then when the Dahmer one came out, it was like the most one in the series of movies that got more notice for you know, the acting and the storyline and how it's played out and the whole, and even and it was at a time too when they made the movie, it was still like they didn't end it with the whole like how Dahmer ended this miniseries, where it's like you know, they talk about how he got killed in prison. Right. They didn't get that. So you're just basically getting the whole story up until the point where he gets captured.
Mm.
Yeah. So Jeremy Renner was excellently creepy in that movie. He's so creepy. So you can see where he has a range to his acting.
Oh, absolutely.
Repertoire, man. I mean, wow. So, yeah. So Woman of the Hour, awesome flick. I give Anna Kendrick props, even though she has a kind of love-hate relationship with the film. At the point right now.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that. I thought it was released just this year. It was only released to Netflix this year. And it was actually released last year, 2023.
I think it was made, or what do you call it? I think it was only seen under festival eyes.
Yeah, I think she
last
took it to Cannes or something like that, right? Or
probably, but or, not definitely not this past year.
Yeah, okay.
Because otherwise, yeah.
I didn't realize that. So, awesome film. Really good. All right. Did you watch the second film?
Yeah.
I
got to watch Never Let Go. I ended up buying on digital. This one stars Halle Berry, and it's directed by Alexander Aja, who's done High Tension, Mirrors, Crawl.
This is the one, she's the mother in the woods. It's kind of like a
with
like
the two kids.
Like an apocalyptic kind of deal. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of It Comes at Night and A Quiet Place mixed with Frailty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this mother, yes, this mother and her two kids, like apparently, according to the mother, the whole world ended. You know, there was this evil that swept across the land and, you know, possessed a bunch of people and killed a bunch of people. And so it's just her and her kids just fending off in the woods. And if this evil touches them, you know, it will get a hold of them. And their house is made out of this like ancient wood. So every time they leave the house, they attach themselves to the rope that is hooked up to the house to, you know, to go
anchored
on adventure.
Yeah, keep them anchored.
Keep them anchored.
Okay.
So the evil won't ever touch them unless they are completely off, or like unless their rope is detached.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
So yeah, when they go out, you know, they're very careful. They hunt for their own food. You know, they have a particular routine. So the way this movie kind of kicks off, you can tell that this world is very established. You know, they already know what to do, and they have these set of rules. So I really love Halle Berry's performance. I think she really disappears into it, especially it kind of reminded me of Bill Paxton's performance in Frailty, because she's just so like sold on, you know, on the things that she sees, on just like this, you know, especially this particular evil, because supposedly the boys can't see this evil. She can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So every time this evil comes around, you know, she's seeing this evil take forms of different people that were in her life, or, you know, somewhat strangers that she's come across.
That's weird.
Yeah. So some of the practical makeup effects, pretty cool. Pretty cool, I gotta say. And, you know, it does kind of go off a little slow. Like, you know, they are just kind of like rinse and repeat routine after routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the whole survival bit. But once we get to like the halfway point, something changes. And I didn't know how to feel about it. Like, I was like, whoa, I did not see that coming. But I don't know if I think that's interesting or if I think like it might be just a little bit too played out. So something happens and just the story really hinges onto the performance of the two boys. You know, like these two boys are practically the heart of the film. Like as much as Halle Berry is amazing in this movie, the two boys were just as good too, because you got one brother who is just very much like, you know, the devout believer, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have one brother who is curious. He's asking questions like, is there really this evil out there? Is there anything wrong when I detach myself from the rope? Are there people actually still alive out there? Civilization, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's curious, you know, like, and that creates a lot of conflict, especially between both brothers.
A little bit rebellious between brothers and, mm-hmm. and the mother as well. So I'm like, okay.
And so, pretty wild. It doesn't necessarily wrap up all the way through. Like, there is a really crazy third act. But it doesn't give you all of the answers. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, it's kind of interesting because you could take that and interpret it in, you know, many different ways, you know, you know, generational trauma as well as, you know, like a pass on to mental illness, maybe, you know. So, yeah.
He just mentioned mental illness.
Right. Exactly. I feel like both of my movies just had a theme there.
Okay. Wow, awesome. Is that available on physical copy now?
I think
physical media.
Physically, I think the movie comes out December 3rd on Blu-ray.
A long wait.
Wow. Yeah, I think it just left theaters.
Okay. I didn't even realize it was out. Yeah. I thought it came out like in August or something, because it's when initially I saw the first trailers.
Yeah, it came out at the end of September, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but it didn't stay in theaters too long. Like, maybe it was like around for 3 weeks.
Only 3 weeks.
3 weeks, because I remember. I think I remember. By the time Terrifier 3 came out, the movie was gone.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that or Smile 2 kicked it out.
Oh, geez. So possible, maybe lost a little bit of the budget there.
Yeah.
For the film.
Yeah. But it was interesting. You know, it's nice to see Halle Berry back in horror. I think it was great, you know, kind of looking back at a lot of actors, a lot of big A-list actors who did horror this past year, which is pretty cool.
She did a horror movie before? I'm only thinking thrillers this way.
I'm thinking Gothica.
Oh, yeah, Gothica.
Yeah.
The Call is pretty good. That's a suspense thriller. I like The Call. That was a really good one.
I don't think Kidnap was a horror film. No.
I can get another thriller.
No, okay.
Yeah, another thriller, so... I feel like
she's done more. I think
she's done a lot. I love Monsters Ball.
Is that that's a drama?
I like Swordfish.
Okay, obviously. Now I know why you like those movies. Oh dear!
I like her ex. Sorry, Twitter.
Oh,
well, that one post on Twitter.
Oh my god.
Okay, so now, awesome review. Look forward to picking it up, possibly physical copy, or if it's streaming somewhere by then. Maybe it might fall into the streaming arena by mid December or something like that.
Max, probably.
Probably Max, yeah.
Probably Max.
Before I get into. My next review, which is going to be like the next half of the, because I'm going to test your, like, how much you know of the Evil Dead series, because I watched this documentary recently, and it looks amazing. I mean, looks amazing. It is amazing. It's an awesome documentary. So it's called Hail to the Deadites, and it's available on Tubi. But before I get into the review, I just found out that Tubi has the release of one of Julian Sands' last movies. Julian Sands, you know him from Arachnophobia. He was the Warlock for two movies, Warlock and Warlock 2. And then he, in real life, went Hype King during the winter time, and they couldn't find him. He had passed away just last year. So this is one of his last feature films that he did, and it's called The Piper. And it's a supernatural film about a woman who is chosen by a maestro, a conductor for the symphony, to who's played by Julian Sands, to reconfigure an old children's like melody for the symphony, not knowing that behind the melody there's a curse that can resurrect or bring forth a demon
that takes the lives or takes the souls of children. Kind of deal. You know the idea of the Pied Piper. The Pied Piper went through town playing his flute. Children followed him, right?
Right.
So that's the whole story. Like the children hears the melody and they get taken by, their souls get taken by the Piper demon. So there's mixed reviews on the film since its release, and it's up to me to know, like, I have to watch the feature myself to, you know, generally make a critique on the film. But I'm not going to follow any other reviews right now because, again, I love the work of Julian Sands. He's an amazing actor, you know, and he's taken too soon, you know. And so I'm going to check it out with open mind.
Yeah.
Open mind. But that's available on Tubi.
Yeah.
Of all places.
And you're allowed to like what
you
like.
I could talk about Tubi because it's free. And they, I think they had like some kind of like a rights, like a shared rights with Warner Brothers and
the Tubi.
Yeah, because they've been produced. There's a lot of like originals now on Tubi.
Yeah.
The Soska sisters, which I haven't seen yet, they did a pseudo sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah,
that has some young teen stars. I don't know their names, but they're familiar to like TV series and stuff like that. So. Yeah.
No, a lot of the YouTube community that I follow, you know, they for sure like to mention a lot of, you know, films that do premiere on Tubi. Mm-hmm. Actually, one movie, I haven't checked it out yet, but one recommendation that I was given that was a Tubi original called Lowlifes.
In passing, I seen that. Yeah.
And so I heard a lot of surprising, you know,
good reviews on that one,
considering that it was a Tubi original, you know, because... Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come out kind of junk, and this one was definitely on the list of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely need to check that one out for sure.
Yeah, the Pooniverse I think has some features in Tubi right now as well. Yeah, and then the girl from Megan, she's in a horror feature that's on Tubi. It's another Tubi original. It's called The Curse of the Necklace.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I seen a trailer for that one too.
Yeah.
So a little
that's Tubi original.
It's been released as a Tubi original.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's weird. Like there's a lot of movies. It's like there's big studio like production companies like, you know, backing these movies, and Tubi has like become like Sci-Fi Channel. You know, it's getting their premiere in Tubi and. Really interesting. But now getting into the documentary that Tubi has a grouping of documentaries that I like have watched in the past. Documentaries on horror movies, on certain actors, and they're amazing documentaries. One that I have seen in passing, like finally checked it out last night because I was like, I need to watch something. I was like, I want to watch a documentary. Hail to the Deadites. It's released back in 2020, because there's no mention of Evil Dead Rise in it.
Okay.
But there's only mention of the first remake coming out. But
so they probably made it like during or before.
Yeah. But majority of the movie is showcasing actors and fans that are fans of the original three. So that's Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, and Army of Darkness, or I like the title, Bruce Campbell versus the Army of Darkness, which was released as a bootleg copy. I have it someplace in my collection.
Do they also mention the TV show or no?
They do.
Okay.
Mention the TV show.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a segment in there where Bruce Campbell is like in his Bruce Campbell persona.
Yeah.
I was like, you buttheads asked for like that. I think he said an expletive. I can't say the expletive on the air, but he was like, you guys asked for more Evil Dead, you got it. And that was like around the same time where it was already like in its first season or something like that. So it was like he was doing the tours and the main focus conventions that are featured in the documentary is Horror Hound Weekend, Cinema Wasteland, which is a smaller one, but I remember reading all about that convention. That's a cool convention on the East Coast. And there's a segment from Cinema Wasteland in the documentary where they talk to Tom Sullivan. Now, I like interviews with people that you don't realize, they work on Evil Dead. You wouldn't know the initial actors. You don't know too much about the people behind the scenes. This Tom Sullivan is the man that is responsible for creating the Necronomicon. Okay. He, to this day, he has segments of the original book, which is over the years has, rotted a little bit because of the material that they use. But he still has the original dagger from the first movie. Mm. And fans eat it up. They go, he has new artwork and stuff. They go and see him and talk stories. He's such a down-to-earth guy. He wants to talk to everybody. The dude even helped a couple get, propose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, this is true fans. I'm tripping out because, he's like, this guy goes up to him and asks, "Will you help me propose to my girlfriend at Cinema Wasteland?" And he made them like, "Okay, I want you to hold the dagger and you hold the Necronomicon." You hit the new reproduction of it. And, you hold this and you hold that. And then, here, take this. And, he hands him the box with the ring and everything. And I was like, that's the cutest crap I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's and, so cool. And these are my people, man. I'm in the wrong state. To tell you the truth, because every time I see something like a convention happening anywhere in the U.S., like there's plenty of YouTubers out there that go to different conventions, and I'm like, God, this is my people. I can blend in. All I wear is black T-shirts. That's all you see at the conventions. Every horror convention in the mainland, you will see a sea of people in nothing but black T-shirts.
They got the best stuff, man.
You got the best of Evil Dead. I love
the Evil Dead cast, man. They're so great.
Yeah.
They're so humble.
I can't name them off directly, but the three main ladies, they're amazing women. They could not believe. You did an interview with them, and at one point in their life, Evil Dead was just like a past memory. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that around the 90s, when they started getting invited out, they're like, "Wait, what? There's a cult following. There's all these people that want to go and see them live in person and get their autograph." They're like so... It goes to show you how much horror films, whether it be whatever franchises or just one horror movie alone, impacts the fans or the fandom that it creates. And I'm watching this documentary. It's like, I wish I was there. I wish I was at that Horror Hound weekend where they were all together. Every actor and actress and people that was behind. Sam Raimi was there. Not Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi. Sam was busy. I think he was still filming some shows at that time, some movies. But
Doctor Strange 2, maybe.
Yeah, Ted Raimi at that time. People, I didn't realize, too, that he was... For a time, I didn't realize that he was the basement demon in Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. And then...
He shows up in a lot of his movies.
He shows up in
the Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah, he's... Yeah. Brother. Kind of like how Ron Howard would put his brother Clint in some of his movies.
Yeah.
Apollo 13. It's like, what's Clint doing here? Oh, that's right. It's his brother. Mm-hmm. I love Clint. The ice cream man. You want to see Clint at his most creepiest, but silliest, Ice Cream Man.
Clint Howard. Oh, yeah. No, he has a cameo in Terrifier 3.
He does. Oh, that's right. Yeah. The bar scene, so right? Funny. I seen a snippet of that clip. I didn't see the whole clip, so I don't know how wild the bar scene gets.
Okay.
I've heard things, but I'll wait till I pick up my physical.
Yes, you shall.
Now that I have Terrifier and I have Terrifier 2, the 4K Blu-ray that I picked up from you as well, Terrifier 3, first thing that I hope Walmart gets it.
December 13th.
That's my Christmas gift to myself.
Yes, sir.
I was like, how much? What the 4K? What? There's a steelbook? Yeah, I'll put that inside my little cart. But no, yeah, Hail to the Deadites. You would enjoy checking that one.
Okay.
If you like...
On Tubi. Cool,
yeah, it's on Tubi.
Good, good.
Yeah. And there's a string of other documentaries on there. There's the Robert England story that's on there. They talk about everything from Nightmare on Elm Street to every other part of... every other work that he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely remember as a kid watching V. V was a TV series that was on TV, and it's a story of a reptilian species coming to Earth and saying, "We're just friends." Yeah, right. "We're just friends." Yeah, wait. Okay, you guys have the ability to, like, you know, hide under human skin, and you're infiltrating the White House and Congress. Like, it makes me think about every conspiracy theory that's out there about lizard people right now.
Lizard people.
Give me a break. But no, yeah, Hail to the Deadites. Really good. What was I going to say about that one? A good documentary. Cool fun facts that I learned from this documentary. And it's a small little... It's a small thing. It's one of those moments where it's like... It's a minute. You don't know until, like... You got to really pay attention. Bill Moseley was interviewed for like 2 minutes. And explained that... He is a part of the Evil Dead franchise.
He's a part of it.
Yes. So.
In what way? Like he's acting in it?
Yeah.
Huh.
In Army of Darkness, he was one of the Deadeye generals that led the army. It's one of those blink and you'll miss it because it's under heavy makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can make out the frame.
Yeah,
And it showed a picture of him. As one of the Deadeye generals that's leading the Deadites to the castle. Yeah. Because at that time, he told the story that Sam Raimi was a fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Mm-hmm. And Bill Moseley was like, "Well, I'm a fan of Evil Dead 2. Since you're a fan, I'm working on this. We're going to be on a ranch in the middle of the Midwest or something. He's like, come on over. You know, we can and put you in a part. Put them all in makeup." And I was like, what? Yeah, it's a little fun fact that, like, just like, I'm like not even like paying attention. I'd be like, "Wait, why is Bill Moseley here? Wait, what?" And then, oh, really? So there's another horror icon.
Yeah, yeah.
In a horror movie, one horror icon featured in another horror movie.
See, I like that you brought that up because I also recently found out that Lauren Lavera, the star of Terrifier 2 and 3, as Sienna, the final girl, I just found out that she was the body double of the three main girls in Split. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's stunt double.
Well, she could have done. Okay. She could have done.
Yeah.
But like, she was the body double. So she was either in frame to some shots that they needed right away that they couldn't get with the actresses, or she could have been a stunt double because she does her own stunts, especially in the Terrifier films.
I like fun facts like this, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now I want to go rewatch Split. By itself, and then stop it at the end before it goes into Unbreakable.
Oh my
God. Part 2.
Why not?
I saw Glass in theaters, and I was like,
You know what? I think it's fun. It's fine.
It was not, you know, it kind of tamed it down because I think they wanted to make Glass more like the Avengers of the M. Night Shyamalan universe. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because, I mean, you take a look at Unbreakable, that was a thing of its time, you know? Like, Glass to do what it did in the Marvel / DC, you know, renaissance, you know, it's a little impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
makes me think, like, okay, if that's M. Night Shyamalan, all his movies are connected?
I wonder. I don't want that.
Lady in the Water in the same universe is Unbreakable.
Like, I'm kind of glad that Trap didn't do that when, you know, because everybody had their theories that Haley Joel Osment was going to show up because he has some kind of psychic connection, finding out that, you know, who the butcher is.
The dead
is speaking to him, speaking like to him, black, like, phone style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you gotta tell the cops.
That we gotta trap them. I'm so happy that it wasn't that the way. Case. Because I was like, no, he I think that's done that. Such a cop out if they're gonna do that to all his movies now.
I think the village exists in the universe. Maybe because you don't know. They're in an enclosed area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's places on the earth where it's like, in America, it's like, it's enclosed. Nobody goes there.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. So maybe Haley Joel Osment was out there passing by, maybe they passed through over there. No. You know? I wonder if the village, because they had no TV or anything, if they had no experiencing everything that happened in science. I wonder everybody in the village, they're just there not knowing that aliens are all over the earth.
Oh my
in
God.
Science. You know? And then it all culminates to the world almost ending in Lock in the Cabin.
No,
they're all connected. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the couple from Knock at the Cabin, they originally were going to go vacation where the beach from old is. Yeah, just put it all together. I want to, let's do that. Call up Shyamalan and, like, just put everything together, man. No. It's a no.
Well.
It's an idea.
Coming soon, the old signs of the cabin in the village.
There you go. The cabin in the village.
The old signs at the cabin at the village.
Yeah. And then Carmen Electra's in there and she takes a poop in the pew. Oh, that's Scary Movie 4.
I knew you were going to go Scary Movie 4, man.
Oh, man. So, no, really good. We got 10 minutes left. I don't know what else to talk about. We talked about so many stuff.
I'm excited to watch Heretic tonight.
You're going
to
watch? Okay, you're going to watch Heretic.
We're going to go see Hugh Jackman. Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant. I'm wearing the Wolverine shirt.
My brother keeps telling me, oh, I have Deadpool 3. And I'm like, I don't want to watch your pirated stuff. It could be like Asian subtitles or somebody passing by in the background.
Don't worry, it's going to be on Disney Plus soon. But Hugh Grant. He's going to go nuts. And I can't wait to see it.
I wonder if there's kind of any backlash over that movie from the religious community, because it does feature Mormonism.
So far, I'm hearing positives about it. Like, it kind of plays both sides. Like, the one thing that a lot of the positive reviews have said was that this movie doesn't lean into the it doesn't lean too much as a one-sided thing. Like, it balances out the belief and disbelief. And I think that's kind of like where a lot of the positives are coming from, was that it's very well rounded for a smart religious horror film.
And who are the actors in that movie?
Sophie Thatcher, Chloe East, and Hugh Grant. Yeah. Sophie Thatcher, she's definitely been, I swear, Sophie Thatcher's kind of like going down the rabbit hole to be the next Scream Queen. Because Sophie Thatcher was in Boogeyman, she was in Maxine.
Okay.
She was in Yellow Jackets, and she's going to be also in the upcoming movie called Companion.
Sophie Thatcher. That's the more...
Sophie Thatcher, yeah.
Okay.
Chloe East is a fresh face, so I don't really know where she's from, but yeah. Ah. Sophie Thatcher, she's getting her credits in the horror genre.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I think this movie is written by the same guys who did A Quiet Place.
Okay.
And Hunt.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. Wow, excited to see that tonight. See you guys at the theater.
Sure thing. And then Hugh Grant. It's a change to see him in a kind of a horror movie type role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, Hugh Grant to me, I think Hugh Grant, I'm thinking like every other, like,
romantic comedy.
Late 90s, early 2000s romantic comedies. I think he did one with, like, Julia Roberts or something like that.
Yeah.
Notting Hill.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. He's British, so it has to be one of those movies that take place.
But this wouldn't be his first horror film, right?
The only one I know of that he did when he was really young mm-hmm. is a horror movie from the 80s called just Lair of the White Serpent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably not a big star yet.
Right? No, he wasn't. Dude, you want to see him babyface? That is the babyface movie to watch.
The babyface.
Yeah, when he was so young. He was in his 20s or something. Hold on, let me get the filmography up real quick. Where is it? You know what? You know what? They make these things down here. And I don't see any... Where's the filmography? Acting credits. There. Filmography.
See, that's what you get with Wikipedia, yeah. Man.
Man. Okay, 88. Lair of the White Worm. I don't think he has done any other horror movies.
No.
You want to see him in a very interesting, like, pseudo... central drama film, comedy, Sirens.
Okay.
Sirens is, let me say, my preteen years watching it on Showtime.
All of his weird roles, you know, like when he's
9 months weird. Was one of the movies that I like him in. Nine months. Of course, Bridget Jones's Diary.
That was my first movie with him.
Really?
Actually, one of them. I think it was two. I didn't watch one, nor did I see three.
Wow, man. Yeah. He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
One I haven't seen yet. That's with...
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Why am I thinking Henry Cavill? Yeah, Henry Cavill is in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, Hugh Grant did a lot of Guy Ritchie movies, like a little bit. Not just Man from U.N.C.L.E., but he did like... what is it? The Gentleman.
Okay.
And the Operation something. It's with Jason Statham.
Wait. What? There's another Bridget Jones movie coming out?
Yeah. No, I saw that too. I was like, what?
What?
What is that, four now?
Three.
That's three.
Yeah.
That's Are you sure?
Three. Yeah.
I swear there was a third one already.
No. Wait, there's only two. There's only two. The last one was in... 2001. 2004 was The Edge of Reason.
I'm sorry, I'm going to bail out. I got to use bathroom.
Okay, all right. We got 5 minutes left in the show, and we're gonna talk about. And she uses the restroom. 5 minutes. Aloha, how are you? Again, going back to the documentary, Hail to the Deadites. We'll find documentary on Tubi, and I don't know any other places. There's other documentaries that are available on there. One that I recommend is Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue, which features a documentary just on American horror films alone, movies that was produced directly here in America, dating all the way back to Universal movies through the 70s, like a Chainsaw Massacre, talk about Toby Hooper and stuff like that, John Landis, and a foray of excellent interviews with actors, filmmakers, all types of stuff like that. And then there's one other, let me do a quick search real quick here, because I believe it's still available on there, on Tubi. Let's do a quick here. Nightmare on Elm Street. There's one that is called My Nightmare on Elm Street. I gotta put this keyboard someplace else. My Nightmare on Elm Street. Scream Queen. Yes. Is this still on Tubi? Is this still available? And it's not. Oh, jeez. It's on Amazon, Fubo TV, Apple TV, Vudu, YouTube, for rental purchase only at the moment. But I feel like it'll have another round of release on the streaming site Tubi in the future. But it's called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. I vaguely remember watching it. I think I watched it like... Under certain vices, but it's the documentary that takes you in a journey into the LGBTQIA+ fans of horror films, and as well as big fans of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, because it's considered the gayest sequel in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, and probably the gayest horror movie ever made, because it's Mark Patton, who at that time was a small-time actor. He did Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, and it blew up because it's the first time that a final girl was a guy, basically. The final girl was a guy. There was supposed to be a final girl, but there's a final girl and a final guy in the movie, and it's evident that the film had a lot of LGBTQ+, IA+, all that letters type of theme to it. And Tubi has, let me see if I can find Tubi real quick, because we got two more minutes here, and I don't want it to be too much of a Tubi recommendation type show, but Tubi does have quite a lot of features in the documentary area. So I was talking about this. They had the documentary My Nightmare on Elm Street on Tubi for a while, but I didn't like, I watched it, but forgot if I finished it, because it's one of those points where I was under vices. Let's explain to the people that I was under certain vices while watching it, so that I vaguely remember watching the movie. Yeah. But it's a documentary about Mark Patton, who from Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
Yes.
Freddy's Revenge.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting documentary, from what I remember. And it's delving into the fans of LGBTQIA+ community as well.
Is it more like the controversy of it?
No, not really. It delves into that, but it's also the how it would be like a gateway for fans that are of that community to be like, you know, we're just like horror movies. Mm-hmm. So it goes to show you, as well as with Hail to the Deadites, and then this another bunch of like documentaries that are out there now available. Plus, not to mention a lot of YouTubers that cover conventions and go to locations and interview actors and actresses. One YouTuber couple that I like is the Grim Collective on YouTube, and they were one of the only people to have a full interview before her passing with what's your name now from The Shining,
Shelley Duvall.
So they, it's one of their big videos on YouTube right now, so that's it.
Yeah,
mentioned a lot of documentaries that are available out there.
Ooh, also, if you haven't had the chance, check out Never Sleep Alone and Crystal Lake Memories. Those were really good ones, especially if you're fans of Freddy and Jason.
Which one of those is like 6 hours long?
The Crystal Lake Memories.
That's the one.
There you go.
I feel like I did watch that, but I kind
of... No, you're a Jason fan. Of course. That's got to be a must.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for this episode of The Local Show's afternoon, Friday, Thursday afternoon. Right. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. All right. We're out of here.
All right. Bye.
Learn about building a better brain for peace, health, and longevity with John Pierre at 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 7th, located at 95 Mahalani Street in Wailuku. Presentation followed by Q&A. Admission is free. Vegan refreshments courtesy of Down to Earth Organic and Natural. Learn the multifaceted aspects of enhancing cognitive functioning through diet, exercise, sleep, stress reduction, and brain exercises. Jean-Pierre is best known for his brain-building programs he created over 38 years ago for seniors centered around a plant-based diet.
Maui's free speech station. KAKU 88.5 FM, Kahului, Maui. The voice of Maui.
The Sonic Cafe.
It's the end of the world!
We're near the end of our development of society, which has been going on for about 2,000 years. And we've reached levels of prosperity which carry the seeds of disruption.
It's the end of the world!
The grim truth that I think we're not facing is that our civilization is now beginning to collapse.
The Sonic
Cafe. Featuring intelligent, eclectic music, comedy, and pop culture.
The world is in a completely unstable situation. It's likely to fall to pieces if it doesn't stop growing.
End of the world.
The end of the world.
It's the end of the world.
The end of the world.
The end of the world.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
We're the Sonic FM.
I know the end is near, the television telling lies. I know for sure the revolution won't be televised.